How you doing? It's Jaquetta Williams here for another segment of Your Health Connection. You know, I've got a 2-4. That means two topics in one for this show today. The first thing we're going to talk about is colon cancer. I've got a doctor here, Dr. Mahmoud Berry, and I've got a cancer survivor. His name is Dan Weeks. So I'm all in here by myself. I'm surrounded by handsome, important men, young men. But we've got another person that's going to tell you about this prostate cancer symposium that's going to be happening right here at Clark Atlanta. You have to know about this. And this is another handsome young man you're going to hear from. Take it away. We are joined now by Dr. Shafiq Khan, Director of the Center for Cancer Research and Therapeutic Development right here at Clark Atlanta University, or CCRTD. You know, CCRTD is hosting the 10th Annual National Symposium on Prostate Cancer right here at Clark Atlanta University. That's happening from March 16th through the 19th. So if you need to, get your calendar out, mark it on your calendar. It's definitely something that you will want to be a part of. Welcome back to Your Health Connection, Dr. Khan. First, let's talk about why you're hosting this symposium and why it's so important.
Yeah, when we started working on prostate cancer about 10 years ago, we decided to bring some of the experts in the field so that our students, our faculty, our scientists could interact with them. But then that symposium started getting bigger and bigger every year, and now it's one of the only prostate cancer basic research symposium in the country, which happens every year. And now we've already done 9, so this will be our 10th.
Yeah. What are we doing this year that is going to be different from the years past? Because I know you and I were talking about some really important scientists and people in the medical field who are going to be here talking about some really innovative information.
Well, the main purpose is really to bring people who are doing cutting-edge research in cell and molecular biology and prostate cancer together in one place every year so that they can share what they have found and what they have been working on. So we usually select 10 to 15 scientists and bring them here and whom we want to listen to. But this year we have, this is our 10th anniversary, so we are bringing about 30 people.
Oh, wow.
To talk about their work. And they will be, they're coming from all over the country. And they're all people who really have done great work in our understanding of how cancer develops and how it metastasizes and so on.
And particularly for prostate cancer, because that's something that's such an important topic for you, for the department. Is there something that we don't know about prostate cancer that we're going to find out that's going to be like an aha moment at this symposium?
Yeah, that's always the hope. Uh-huh. And you know, all these people, you know, people who are coming, they're big research labs. They're coming from Harvard. They're coming from UCLA. They're coming from Seattle. They're coming from so they're coming from all different parts of the country, and they're all doing cutting at basic good research. So you're always looking forward to hearing what they have done in the last couple of years because that's not been published yet. Mm-hmm. There are some very important things going on in the symposium. We are bringing Dr. Chu from Roswell Cancer Institute in Buffalo, New York. Mm-hmm. He's the one who discovered PSA. Now, people know what PSA is, prostate-specific antigen. That's the only test for prostate cancer. So he's going to come and talk about the history of how he found out and all that. Now, those are kind of general interest topics, but most of other talks are going to be what these guys did in their labs last year or 2 years ago. So it's sometimes difficult to follow.
I know one of the things that people always like to ask, or at least hope in their minds, is that cancer, all forms of it, but since we're talking about prostate, will be cured, or you find the reason why it happens and then you can get rid of it. I know when you have these symposiums every day, that's probably the major goal here.
I think that although our symposium is prostate cancer symposium, what we really study applies to most cancers. And that is, you know, how the cell becomes a cancer cell, or how does it move from one place to the other, how what we call metastasis, mm-hmm. or spreading. Now, most cancer follow the same pattern when they follow from one, go from one place to the other. So if you understand that in one cancer, probably it applies to the other.
All of them.
And especially, you know, breast and prostate cancer are very similar in many, many genetic and other things. So our focus is entirely on that level. So I think that can be, so you don't have to be a prostate cancer person,
right,
too. But if you are interested in breast cancer or endometrial cancer or some other cancer, you could still come and learn a whole lot.
I'm sure since this is the 10th year, there's a lot of things that have happened from year one to year 10. What's been the major growth that you've seen?
Well, I think, yeah, there has been a tremendous development in our understanding. Unfortunately, we can't really say that we've cured the cancer,
right?
But what we can say is that we have learned a whole lot in the last 10 years, and especially at the genomics level, at the gene levels, and what's the differences and what might be involved. We have seen tremendous advancement in science, and what we're hoping soon is to find answers to two questions, which are very vital. Number one is to try to develop better diagnostic tests.
Right.
And number two is to find out, there are two kinds of prostate cancers. One which is there and it stays there for years and doesn't really develop into an aggressive form. And one which develops into aggressive form rather quickly. We really don't know which one is going to be which.
Mm.
So if we knew that, we wouldn't be over-treating those cancers which are not going to become aggressive. And we're going to treat the cancers which we know are going to be aggressive. So that will save a lot of effort. And so those are the two things we're hoping to figure out pretty soon.
Let me ask this question as well, Dr. Constance. You do have such amazing minds that are coming here to the school to talk about this. How long does it take someone to study something like this that can, you know, develop something new to bring it to all of us here?
Well, it's kind of a continuum, you know. You really don't know. Sometimes you work for 20 years and nothing comes out, and sometimes you're lucky one day and you do some experiments and you find the answers to that you're looking for. Developing drugs and tests sometimes takes years to perfect them, but. It's a collective work of every scientist in the world,
mm-hmm,
who are doing these little bits and pieces, and they get connected. And after 5 years, you say, okay, based on all that work, now we understand this thing better.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we sort of go for.
From scientist to scientist, Dr. Khan, are you kind of in awe sometimes when you have people like this who come down and talk?
Yeah, I love science, and I do science myself, and I've been a scientist all my life, and it's a process. It's the best thing to be. I think that if you want to change something, I think that's where you can make a big difference in people's lives, and what you do every day could lead to a cure for a disease, but it's just the process itself. Is amazing.
And I also want to let you all know, too, this is not just about a symposium. There's going to be some fun things that are happening in the midst of all of this. So I don't want you to think it's a bunch of scientists with a bunch of pens in their pockets spilling black or blue ink. There's going to be breakfasts. There's going to be a dinner and a dance, a black tie event, and all of that. So just because it's going to be a lot of information in regards to cancers, there's going to be some fun things that you're going to have an opportunity to do as well. So don't just think it's just that. Anything else you want to add, Dr. Khan, before we let you get out of here?
Yeah, it's. I mean, most of the people think that the scientists don't have fun. But I think that when we get together with colleagues every year on these conferences, and so we do have a lot of interaction and we have a lot of fun. And those are the time when you really learn the good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because when they present their stuff, it's polished and all that. But when you sit down and have a cup of coffee with them later on in a cafeteria or have a dinner,
mm-hmm,
and then they tell you the stories which you don't hear when they're presenting their
right
stuff. So it's a good group of people to hang out with.
Well, I definitely tell you what, since it's one of the only kind of its kind that comes here to Clark, Atlanta every year, let's just hope at some year and hopefully sooner than slower, we will be able to say we found what the thing is about prostate cancer and we're able to cure it. So don't forget now, this is happening. This is the 10th annual National Symposium on Prostate Cancer happening right here at Clark Atlanta, March 16th through the 19th. Dr. Khan, thank you so much for being here with us.
Thank you for having me.
We appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Now we're going to switch it back to the men who are here now talking about colon cancer. And don't forget, you can always tweet me at CCRTD or at Jaquetta W. That's JAQUITTAW. Or you can call us 404-880-9255. Again, 404-880-9255 if you have a question or if you want to join in on the conversation, this being about colon cancer. Now, let's talk about the men who I just introduced you to. Let me reintroduce you to them. We're talking to Dan Weeks. He is a colon cancer survivor. And then we have a board-certified doctor, Dr. Mahmoud Barry. I want to switch your name up.
Yes, you said it right.
But okay, so I'm gonna call you Dr. Barry.
That's fine.
Okay, let's first talk to. I'm gonna switch it up a little bit. I'm gonna talk to my survivor. Is that okay? Do you mind that?
That's quite all right.
Yeah. All right, let's talk to you, Dan, because you told me you found your. What led you to even want to be checked? Because I know a lot of men may think that area back there is a sensitive area.
Well, it really started. My wife had cancer, and the doctor that was checking her said, you know, have you had a colonoscopy? And I said, no. And he said, well, we need to get you in and have one. So I put it off and put it off, but I finally had one. And they found some polyps, but everything was benign, so they sent me home. And then 3 years later, it's kind of silly, but I'm having just constipation.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my symptom. And I went to the doctor.
Wait, let me stop you there, because if most people have constipation, they'll just use something so that they're no longer constipated. Did you do that?
I did. Okay. I went to the doctor, and because I was, you know, I had a lump in my side.
Okay.
So I went to the doctor, and he did some x-rays, and he said, well, you know, I'm going to give you some Miralax. Take that for 5 days, and then if it helps, you're fine. Well, it helped.
Okay.
And about 4 months go by, and, you know, during that time, I'd take it here and there. And then finally, I took it, and it didn't help.
Okay.
So I went back to the doctor, and they took more x-rays. And he said at that time, he said, I think you might have an obstruction in your small intestine, but I'm not sure. But he sent me to Dr. Barry's group, a Dr. Sunshine, a gastrointestinal guy. So I went to see him.
Were you concerned at this point, or were you just kind of going through the process?
Well, I was concerned. We wanted to find out what was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Cancer at that point was not in the thought process,
right,
to be perfectly honest with
you.
They put me in the hospital for a weekend, ran a bunch of tests, didn't figure out what was the matter with me, sent me home. So I was scheduled, and I went to see the surgeon, and they blasted me. The surgeon looked at the CAT scan report and said, there's a lot of inflammation in your colon area. I think you may have Crohn's disease. And so he said, let's blast you with steroids. And if that doesn't work, then we go back. We'll figure out what else is going on. So anyway, I did that for a week. Didn't work. So I go back to Dr. Sunshine on Friday. And he says, and this is going into the week of Thanksgiving now, the Monday of starting Thanksgiving week. He says, well, I'm going to be on call that week. If we need to put you in the hospital, I'll be here. I know you hate to do it. And I said, look, we just want to find out what's wrong.
So nobody said colonoscopy up until that
point? At that point, actually, my wife kept pushing him and said, you know, my sister had a friend of hers that passed away because they didn't find it. And so, you know, we need a scope or we need a colon. And so Dr. Sunshine said, well, let's schedule for a colonoscopy on Monday morning at 6:30. So I do that. And he comes in after the colonoscopy and he says, you have colon cancer. You have a huge mass. I couldn't even get the camera in there to look. It just blocked. And he said, Dr. Cummings is going to do the surgery. And I don't know if he's going to do it today or tomorrow, but he'll be in and talk to you about it.
Your first thoughts were?
You're scared. Mm-hmm. I mean, when somebody tells you you got cancer, I mean, it scares you.
Yeah.
And, you know, so we cried about it and hugged.
Did you immediately think you were going to die, or based on the fact that you knew your wife had had it and she's still right there by your side?
No, I didn't think I was going to die. I had text a friend of mine and said, I'm getting ready to have colon cancer surgery. So they started a giant prayer group.
Yes. You're still emotional at this point. What makes you emotional about that?
Well, I just think the whole complexity of everything.
Mm-hmm. But you're here.
Yep.
You're here.
I'm here and going to be here.
So while I let my friend Dan Weeks regroup a little bit, let's bring you in, Dr. Barry, because one of the things you and I were talking about was that, because I even thought, well, how do we even begin to talk about the colon and having it checked and the prep time that you need to have it checked and then the age that you're supposed to do this? Let's talk about that, all of those things. When should we be checked? And then we need to get over that area back there being sensitive to back there.
Yeah. Well, first, thank you very much for putting this together. I think this is probably one of the major issues we have in medicine when it comes to healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
Very preventive, very easily diagnosed condition, and to have this sort of program really is going to be very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to answer your question, first, you have to understand where colon cancer stands amongst other cancers. When you look at the fact that colon cancer is the number two cancer killer in the United States, but yet not a whole lot, I think, is known in the community, unlike breast cancer.
Right.
And clearly, we know the reasons because breast cancer had such a strong champion, which are the women.
Women.
And they went out and they raised awareness, they raised money, they, you know, did what they had to do to make sure that the cancer doesn't, you know, have a stronghold amongst them.
Are you colon saying this cancer, is more prevalent in men?
Well, it's more the case that it affects everybody equally.
Okay.
And so because of that, we don't have a champion that will go out and push for screening for colon cancer. And when you look at the fact that the procedure that is done is so much more, relevant in terms of looking inside an organ that you are evaluating. Now, not to knock the mammogram. It's
right.
done great, but mammogram is an X-ray.
Right.
Unlike a colonoscopy where you're actually inside the organ.
You're seeing real time.
You're seeing real time.
What's going on inside
so
your body.
You can't get any better than that.
Right.
And so the idea that you mentioned about being a sensitive area, you just heard our guest, the patient,
mm-hmm.
Mr. Weeks, talk about what he went through.
Mm-hmm.
When you consider how easy this test can be done, the only difficult part, so to speak, is being cleansed, where you have to cleanse yourself before we can do the procedure.
And Dan, you had to go through this, right?
The first time, yeah. When I was before the diagnosis, the last colonoscopy that I had, I didn't have to because basically I'd been on a liquid diet for about 2 weeks.
So
anyway.
You were kind of okay in
yeah,
that
I was kind of okay. So Dr. Sunshine said, you know, we'll worry about it. Don't worry about that.
But the hardest part, talk about the prep that you had to go through.
I've got, you know, friends and guys that I know play golf with and in sundry. I mean, To me, the worst thing about the colonoscopy is the night before.
Okay.
I mean, the prep that you have to go through.
Give me an idea.
You have to do
I've never had one done before, so tell me what it is.
Well, with me, the first time I had to drink the liquid. I think there are pills you can take or something, mm-hmm. but I drink a liquid, and you got to drink an 8-ounce glass every 15 minutes.
Oh, my goodness.
And you can't venture very far from the bathroom.
Oh, no. Every
15 minutes. You
right.
drink this 8-ounce glass, and it's the prep that's actually...
Does it taste okay, or is it nasty?
No, it's got a decent taste to it. Lemon flavor, or you can get different flavors, orange flavors. I mean,
okay.
they try to make something a little
but
nice.
But no food,
for it.
Right?
No food. No
solid food.
No
it's
solid
be all
food.
Liquids. But this is what I tell my patients. I say, listen, you know, everyone is into the colon cleansing now, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
oh,
you
yeah.
have centers where people go in and get a colon
oh, yeah.
cleanse. I mean, you get the best of both worlds here. You get cleansed, okay?
Yep. Lose,
and
a few pounds, lose a few everything pounds, everything works
and
out.
And not
well.
Only do you not get cleansed, but you also get a procedure done where that's the easiest part of the whole process is when you get a procedure done, you're asleep the whole time.
Okay, and so let me give the number out one more time. 404-880-9255. Again, 404-880-9255. We are going to be taking some of your questions. And, of course, I know you have some questions that you have of Dan. Do you mind if I call you Dan?
No, not at all.
Okay,
please.
I'm on a first-name basis. And the doctor here. And then we're going to talk a little bit more about the signs that you need to be on the lookout for. And then we'll also talk about the age that you need to do this as well. Maybe sooner than you think. We're coming right back.